It's kind of dangerous when we have a meal coming up, right? What do you see? I mean, I know this is church and usually the pastor speaks, but you can talk out. What do you see? Vegetables. Well, that must be a mom. What do you see? Pepperoni. I see your hand. What do you see? Crackers. How do you know? It looks good, but you can't taste it, can you? So how do you know it's good? Oh, okay. So you're going to, I mean, what if that is a picture that is like what they do with most food commercials, that it's imitation. It just looks good. Would it really taste good? It is real food. It was at my nephew's reception. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34. I had no idea what the message or what the theme was of today was. And to be honest with you, I labored a lot this week to figure out where, and the clicker's not working. You can just, okay. I prayed a lot and wrestled with the Lord as to where he wanted me to go today. And he brought me back to a passage that I spoke a couple weeks ago. My family and I are having a little bit of difficulty in adjusting to American culture again. Not that we aren't American ourselves, but you guys celebrate Christmas way early. Haven't even gotten done Thanksgiving, right? And there's Christmas trees. And I listened to Insight for Living today on CII coming up, and he gave a Christmas message. And I'm thinking, we haven't even passed Thanksgiving yet. My mom is all decorated for Christmas at the house. The only thing that's not up is the Christmas tree. But she has about, no kidding, I think about over 150 nativities all through her house. Every ledge, every windowsill, every space that has a flat surface has a nativity or two or three or four. She is all Christmas. And I appreciate Christmas, but I think we're missing something. We need to be thankful. I mean, I think I have my own take on the commercialism of Christmas because I think they want to start early because that means you buy more, right? More things that you don't really need. And forget about being thankful. But I want us to go to Psalm 34. And I don't remember your name here in the sweater who says it tastes good, but that did taste good. But the only way that you can know that food tastes good is you got to taste it, right? I mean, I could look at that table of food all I wanted, but I couldn't taste it. I could stand up here and tell you lots of stories about what God has done in the Yukon, but that doesn't mean you would experience it. The only way we experience God's goodness is by experience it firsthand. And here, the writer of Psalms 34, follow along as I read. I'm reading from the Newer American Standard Bible. Psalm 34, verses 1 through verse 14. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make my boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were never ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Let's open in prayer before we go any further. Lord God, we thank you that we can be in your house today. We thank you for this season of Thanksgiving where we can take a moment, if we don't do it any other time, to just be thankful. Lord, if we're honest with ourselves and with you, you have blessed us with so much. And Lord, the world wants us to forget about that. The world wants us to think we need more to fill our shelves and our counters and our garages and our barns with better and bigger things. But Lord, we thank you for what you have blessed us with. And Lord, we pray that we would leave here today feeling that we are a blessed people because of what you've done for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in 1992, I went to Bible college at Practical Bible Training School at the time. Changed to Practical Bible College and then Davis College, and actually is no more. In going to college, it was during my first year at college that, actually I said 1992, I graduated in 92. I went in fall of 89. But in going to college, it was during that first year that the Lord impressed on me I need to follow him and give my life to him for following missions. And like my daughter, I didn't pray, Lord, don't send me to Africa. But my prayer was, Lord, don't send me to Canada. And guess where I am? Don't pray, Lord, don't send me to wherever. Because the Lord wants willing hearts, wherever that is. And people have looked at Gwendy and me over the years, and I'm sure there's a part of them, like Pastor Brian said, suffering in the cold for Jesus. Not quite. Those weren't your words. That was your sentiment. What are you saying? But, you know, honestly, I feel like a blessed man. I feel like the years that we have spent in Ross River have been amazing. Raising our five kids there, our oldest was 3 years old. Our youngest at the time was 18 months when we moved to Ross River, and we've expanded our family to the five. But our kids have known nothing else than living in Ross River. That can be a good thing and that can be a bad thing, but we feel blessed. And as I was looking through this passage and kind of our heart in being in churches this time in being out is sharing God's faithfulness. Now, that isn't to mean that we have not had difficulties. In fact, I would say if you remember when we came here last time, we probably had struggled with the most difficult year that we had had in ministry. I don't know if you remember us telling, but in the spring of 2013, we began a 40-day dedicated prayer for our community. Another village in our mission had done it, and the Lord had done amazing things, and we were like, yes, let's do it. Let's commit to 40 days of prayer. God's going to do great things, and we were excited. Our church was excited. We were excited. And so we spent 40 days of dedicated prayer. At the end of those 40 days, our house flooded. We had to move out. And within a week of that, I think it was, our most dedicated Christian in the church found out she had pancreatic cancer. And within 2 months, she was gone. And it was the most difficult, trying time in our life. In fact, we had people of our mission leadership itself that said, maybe you should leave Ross River. And it's like, how can we tell people in Ross River that God is our hope when as soon as difficulties come, we leave? It's easy for us to get bogged down with the hard times and forget about the good times. And the psalmist here is writing in the first seven verses. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He is actually telling his personal testimony of what he has found gets him through. Now, if you've read through the book of Psalms, you know that David had a lot of difficulties. There are Psalms that you read that you think David's not a Christian because he thinks God has forsaken him. He says, why, God, have you forsaken me? Why do my enemies flourish? He says some hard things for us to imagine. But yet he also has some dedicated Psalms, which we read this morning, Psalm 148, that are dedicated to praising God. And the beginning of this psalm is no different. He says, I will bless the Lord. And he actually, in verse 3, invites the people. He says, oh, magnify, make great, exalt the name of the Lord together with me. I love it because David is saying, I have seen the goodness of God. And now I want you to come alongside of me. I want you to come along and I want you to see what God has done. I want you to see what God is doing in my life, what he can do in your life. And so the first 7 verses, he gives examples of what the Lord has done. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. You know, I could stand up here and tell you time after time that we have been in ministry and I have had to pray and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm getting close to 50 right now. I just turned 48. I work with Bible camp every summer. We do 3 weeks of Bible camp. I've done anything from be a counselor to be a support staff to be the co-director to the director. I've done everything. And this year they said, would you please be a counselor? We have a lack of guy counselors. We need you to be a counselor. Now, at 50, I don't run as fast as I used to, or close to 50. I used to love to run with the kids. Now I still love to run with the kids, but when I get done, I'm like, oh my goodness. This year when I was asked to do 3 weeks, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Last year I did 2, and I was whooped at the end of the 2 weeks. You want me to do 3? And I will say, as the psalmist David said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Our first week was 7 to 9-year-olds. Yes, that's great. I can deal with 7 to 9-year-olds. The second week was 10 to 12. They're all right. They're okay. But anything over 12 years old, I think, I can't relate well with teens. I tell people I was never a good teen. I never rebelled to my parents. I always listened well. Well, maybe not always, but most of the time. But I don't relate well with teens. And I thought, teens is my worst group. And I'm the only guy counselor this year to lead all these teen guys. Lord, help me. The first night we got there, there was 5 kids sitting at the table with me, 5 boys. I had a junior counselor from Germany who tried to speak some English with them. But I said to the kid, the boy on my right, I said, how you doing? And he looks at me in those eyes that are sick and like, I don't want to be here, and mumbles something. I don't even remember what he mumbled. But I'm thinking, Lord, this is going to be a horrible week. I want to fast forward to Thursday night. That same boy that sat to my right, he's getting ready for bed. We're getting ready to, everybody had put their pajamas on. They're getting ready to go to bed. And he was really tired. He was a kid that of all of them, he was the youngest of the whole group. He quite often was sleeping before anybody else. And he started to lay down, and he sat up, and he looked at me, and he goes, Tim, if you're going to have devotions, make sure you wake me up before so I can hear it before I go to sleep. And it just was amazing to see how the Lord had brought this kid that seemed like he didn't even want to be there the first part of the week to having a hunger to hear what we were learning about the rest of the week. I have sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. How many times do we cry out to the Lord and the Lord hears us? We say probably lots. How many times do we give thanks back to the Lord for his goodness? Say, Lord, I know that you cry. I was that poor man, and I cried to you, and you did hear me. I got to experience that again this summer. We were headed home from Bible camp this first week, and went to the gas station, filled up with gas, drove to the camp that we go to give you an idea. It's 358 miles away. And we have a town at 2 hours from camp, a town at 3 hours from camp, a town at 4 hours, and then the next town is 6.5 hours from camp, and then we are home at 7.5 hours. And So at the town that's still 2.5 hours from home, I got in the van, I looked at the gas gauge, and it was reading questionably whether I could make it to Ross River. But I didn't want to turn because of time. We were trying to get home for our coffee house on Friday night. I didn't want to stop and get gas. So I just said, Lord, get me home. I mean, it's just if I can get to Ross River. I know I have gas at home. I can fill it up if I have to when I'm dropping kids off. But Lord, it'll help me get home. And I went on, and the fuel light came on at the entrance of Ross River. Was able to deliver kids and got home fine. Well, the next week, thinking back to my prayer, we stopped at the gas station where I filled up the week before, and I put a little extra gas in the tank that week because I wasn't going to run out this week. And even thinking of the prayer that I prayed the week before, well, that week I ran out 1.5 hours from home. I didn't run out. We had to go into town to get gas. And as if the Lord was saying, you know, you ask for these things at times, but you don't see how I'm working. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And then he goes on, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Sometimes that rescue isn't keeping us from something. It's delivering us from other things. We shared that our house flooded in 2013. That was a difficult time. Gwendy will tell you, after being out of that house, the difficulty she had breathing in the old house that she didn't find out until after we were out of the house. Apparently there was some severe mold in the house. We knew there was some, but not as bad as what we found out after not being in the house. But the Lord rescued us. He took us from, I mean, it looked like it was a problem. We lost our house. But through that, God gave us another house. He rescues us. Sometimes the rescue is going through. What does it say in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not that I don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's that, what? Thou art with me. The Lord is with me through those difficult times. And it's as if in this passage, David switches from the first 7 verses to the second 7. He gives his personal testimony in the first 7. And then in verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's as if his invitation to to whoever's listening continues. And he says, I want you to see how God is good. And he gives the reader some commands about what it takes for us to see that the Lord is good. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. Now, I think if you've been in church, you've all heard the definitions of fear. I mean, fear can be a trembling, like I'm scared of the dark, or fear can be a reverence. And I'm sure that most of us would look at this and say, well, God wants us to reverence him. Well, God does want us to reverence him. But if you look at the original language, and I'm no original Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, this is Hebrew, not Greek, because it's the Old Testament. I'm no scholar. But that fear there is actually the word for trembling, to be scared, to be afraid. So if David is saying, oh, fear the Lord, be scared of the Lord, what am I scared of? Why would I be scared of the Lord? Well, I think it goes to what the next definition, which we often go, is a reverence. I grew up fearing my dad. Not that I was shaking in fear. Not that I, every time I saw my dad, oh, I'm going to run away because I'm scared of him. But I knew there was some words that my mom would say that if I heard those words, I had reason to be scared. And those words were, you just wait till your dad gets home. And it wasn't that I feared my dad because my dad was so mean. It knew that he was the long hand of the law. And if I messed up and heard those words, my mom was at her wit's end, and she needed somebody else to back her up, and I was going to face my back to his hand. And the psalmist David says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no, those who fear him, there is no want. So what am I fearing of the Lord? I think the fear comes from my desire to follow him and not be in a right walk with him. To fear the Lord, you his saints. My life is committed to him in such a way that I want to avoid hurting my God. I want to avoid something that would cause him pain. I want to avoid hurting the one who saved me. And David says, if you fear him, you're not going to have want. And some people would take that far enough to say, well, if I fear God, well, he's going to give me $1 million or $10 million. Whatever people want now. I mean, it used to be when I was younger, $1 million was what everybody wanted. Now $1 million just seems like, well, that's pocket change. There's houses that are going for $1 million. To me, $1 million is still $1 million. So does that mean that, oh, if I fear the Lord, I'm not going to have any wants? Under the Christmas tree is going to be everything that I ask for. I'm never going to have any desire, anything that I don't have. No, what does the psalmist say in Psalm 37:4? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Now, if I'm delighting in the Lord, what are my desires going to be? What the Lord wants. So obviously the Lord is going to give me what I want because I'm wanting what the Lord wants. The problem we often have is our wants are not what God wants. When Paul writes, I urge you brothers to live as living sacrifices, we forget the sacrifice part. A sacrifice didn't get off the altar. The sacrifice laid there and was dead. But we say, Lord, take me, even as my daughter prayed, Lord, send me anywhere, but don't send me to Africa. Lord, I will do anything for you, but don't do this. So is it I will do anything, or is it I won't do this? God wants I will do this. And if we keep going at this rate, we're going to be here till 12:30, so we better keep going. What time do we really need to be done? The pulpit, what time does the pulpit drop out from under me? We're all hungry, right? Especially after looking at the food. Verse 8, let's look at Psalm 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not, I'm looking at the wrong verse 8. Let's go back to Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Thanks to National Geographic, we have some footage of lions hunting their prey. And there are times that a lion goes hungry, believe it or not. And the psalmist brings this in and says, you know, there are times that young lions, the ones that have the most energy, the ones that will tackle anything, They go hungry. But those who seek the Lord will not want any good thing. If you missed Sunday school today, I want to challenge you to be a part of Sunday school, whatever class it is. But we were in this one here, and I don't even know the guy's name that was speaking. We were looking at when it's time to walk away from a toxic relationship. And it was brought out in the passage that they Gay ended with, one of them was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is to be number one in my mind? Seeking first his righteousness. This summer we had, in the spring, we had a fellow, the intern from Germany, contact us. He was from Germany. He was a Bible school student just finishing off. And he says, I'm looking for an internship. Are you interested in having anybody? And I mean, we've had lots of interns over the year. We've had interns from anywhere from a couple weeks to 6 months living in our home. We love interns. We love summer missionaries. We love people that come and visit us. And this last term has been a tiring term between school and work and ministry. It all piled up, and in I think it was March or April that he contacted us. I was talking with Gwen, and I said, I don't know if I have enough strength to have an intern again. And looking at me, And she looked at me wisely, as the wise woman that she always is, and said, what if God has him here for a reason? Now, I couldn't argue with her. I couldn't say, well, but honey. I listened. I said, yes, dear, as a good man should, right? And the intern came. He came in mid-June. He helped us all through camp. He helped us through getting ready to go on home service. He went to our annual meeting in August in Anchorage and then flew out from there back to Germany. 2 weeks after returning to Germany, he contacted our German partner mission and said, I want to serve the Lord as a missionary. And I look at that and I say, what if I had listened to myself and not sought what the Lord wanted? You could say, well, the Lord would still have worked in his life. Well, that's true. But I would have missed a blessing. It says here, seek, those who seek the Lord will not want any good thing. Do we always seek the Lord in everything? Are we seeking the Lord in our occupation? Are we seeking the Lord in our family? Are we seeking the Lord in our hobbies? Are we seeking the Lord, the Lord's will in every single aspect of our life? Let's continue on to verse 11. Come, ye children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He actually responds to, oh, fear of the Lord, later in verse 11. It says, come, listen to me, and I will teach you. How do we learn about what God wants? Read his book. I saw a comment on Facebook this week that I have long said when I first, the day that my daughter, I held my first daughter, Jocelyn, in my arms at the hospital, there was an overwhelming feeling of, wow, I'm responsible now for this little life. I am now the man that she's going to look up to. But then I thought, I have what I need. And the comment on Facebook, the picture was a picture of a baby with a Bible. And it said, babies do come with instruction manuals. And isn't that the truth? We do have the instruction manual. God gives us everything we need to know and learn. But what does it say in verse 11? Come, ye children, listen. It's not enough just to hear what the Bible says. We need to listen and do what it says. I can hear what my wife says. There are times that I am looking like this to my phone and my children too, and I'll say, And then I'll get done and say, what did you just say? None of you do that, right? How often are we like that with God? Yes, God. Yeah. What did he just say? Come, ye children, listen. And then as we move on, as we get close to the closing of this passage today, who is a man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If we keep the principles in those two verses, 13 and 14, keep our tongues from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. I'm working part-time with my dad, construction, while we've been back. I work a couple days a week, and there's a couple guys that are frustrated with the way life is going. And at times, they can be negative. And it's easy for us to get sucked into the world's negativity. And the psalmist here says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Charles Stanley was speaking this morning on speaking the truth and how, I forget what percentage of the world would lie if they could get $1 million or $10 million. It wasn't even $1 million. It was $10 million. And what people would actually commit murder of a stranger to get $10 million. And he was speaking of how then there is such a need for truth. Well, again, we have the truth. But do we let the truth affect our mouths? Do we let the truth affect our speech? What does it say in 1 Peter 3:15? It says, be ready always to give an answer of what? The hope that is within you. Always be ready to give an answer of the hope. It doesn't say always be ready to complain. Always be ready to talk about how bad the weather is, how cold the weather is, how dreary the weather is, how whatever the weather is. Be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. And it reminds me of a verse that I believe it was on our first prayer card. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let us not be weary in well-doing. No, that's not the right reference. But the verse is, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. And here he says, depart from evil and do good. Continue to do what the Lord wants. It doesn't matter how rough the road is. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. Depart from evil. Depart from the other side. Forget where you were. Forget what you used to be. And do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek what God wants and pursue that. How do we bring this to a close today in our own life? What does God want from us as his people? What does God want from us as people that claim to know him? As people that claim to be followers of him? If we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, what is he asking of us? Remember what you have to be thankful for. If your eyes are dwelling on what you're thankful for, then it's easier to serve the God you're thankful to. I'm going to close with one verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. What are we doing with those blessings that Christ has given us? When we sit at the Thanksgiving table in a week and a half, there goes the remote. If you need it, it's down there, Brian. What are we going to do? When we sit at the table and we say we have so much to be thankful for, what do we do with those blessings? What are we doing because of what God has given to us? Not that we serve to gain a better position in heaven, but what are we doing because of what God has done for us? Robert tells others about Jesus because he knows where he was. He knows the life that he has been through. He knows what God has saved him from. I used to think, well, God never saved me from those things. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church from the day I was probably a week old all the way through. I went to Christian college, worked for Christian bosses almost all my life. Never had any difficulty. And one person wisely said, it's not what God has saved you out of, it's what God has saved you from. No matter whether you've been saved from a horrible environment or protected from that horrible environment, God has worked. But what are you doing for him? There's a bunch of people out there that need to hear the praises from in here. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you that you have given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And first and foremost, that's our salvation. So rich and free. And we thank you, Lord, for that gift. It cost your position in heaven. Coming down and humbling yourself as a babe, taking on the form of a servant. But Lord, you did it for us. And Lord, may we be willing to make whatever sacrifice it is to make your word and your will known to other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.